You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to the Fabulous Peltoncast Special Recruiting Edition. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Caracino, and we have a special guest with us today, the Fabulous Peltoncast recruiting expert, Katie Caracino.
And the official Jermaine Kearse correspondent of the Peltoncast.
That's official? We made that official now?
We did. I did that unilaterally.
Oh, sponsored by Bud Light.
Yeah. Sponsored by Coors Light.
Coors Light. That's me, Coors. So thanks for having me.
So Katie has followed recruiting really closely. She'll help us a lot as we go through this.
This is signing day, usually a huge day when it's not overshadowed by a parade of 700,000 people. So we wanted to look at the class that the Huskies are bringing in. We'll go through them player by player and then kind of talk about what it means in the big picture. So let's start with somebody who the Huskies were a little bit surprised to sign today, Devin Burleson.
Okay, well, he is a 6'7", 260-pound offensive tackle out of California, and the sort of odd thing about him is he is a former basketball player, and he has not really bulked up too much. He's just kind of tall, and he's very athletic, but it's one of those guys that Pete is going to have to mold into a player in the upcoming years. He's a little bit raw.
That sounds to me like a possible position change to defensive line at that size.
It could be.
And we're going to assume no relation between the Burleson family and Devin Burleson?
Not that I could find, but
amazing that we finally get a Burleson here, and it's not someone from...
Okay, and then what about Jamie Bryant? He's a player who was on the Huskies' radar for a long time. I think he's expected a gray shirt next year.
Yeah. Is this the guy that did gray shirt?
Yes.
I think that's what you're talking about. I actually don't have too much on him. I didn't really even consider him as part of this class.
Part of this class. Okay, what about Will Disley?
Okay, he's an interesting kid because he's not rated by Scout, but he's out of Montana, and he's a defensive end, and he was rated as a, I believe, a parade All-American honorable mention, and he had pretty good stats. I think this is one of those guys that could be one of those diamond in the rough guys that Pete finds, and the main recruiting services and maybe other coaches didn't see him because of his remote location, but he could develop into something under Coach Pete's system.
Interesting. Do you know what position they're expecting him to play?
I thought it was defensive end, but...
The first of many Boise State recruits, right?
Yes.
Yes, he was a former Boise State recruit that flipped to us.
Okay, and then what about cornerback Sidney Jones?
Okay, well, he is a former Utah commit, and one of the sort of themes for the class is that we got a lot of commits that flipped from maybe the Utahs or the Boise States or the WSUs of the Pac-12 and...
The kind of schools where you expect guys, if they get a scholarship offer from UW, often will end up taking that.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't, you know, we didn't flip too many in this class of the guys from the big schools, but, you know, it's Coach Pete's...
Just one. One important one.
Yeah.
God, two.
Two. Look at Hale.
Well, I was going to... KJ Carta.
Oh, well, yeah.
But we'll get to them in a second. Okay. But talking about that with players flipping, do you feel like... When Coach Pete took over this class, it was a really small class. There were a lot of things maybe waiting to develop. Do you feel like looking at these kind of, I don't want to call them second-tier players, but players who had offers from smaller colleges, is there a trend there with Coach Pete?
That he goes after sort of kids that maybe were overlooked, is that what you're...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think...
Especially compared to Coach Sark.
Oh, well, definitely. I think that that's one of the things that Coach Pete is known for, is developing his players and having to, you know, being at Boise State, he had to sort of look a lot further than Sark did. And so I think that's his one real, you know, not one, but one of his real assets, that he's been able to find people that were overlooked and to develop them. And so although this class doesn't, you know, sort of jump out at you right away, except for a few key guys, what I'm hoping is that because of Pete's track record in developing people, that it will turn out to be a pretty solid class.
And does this remind you of what we were just talking about?
Yeah, very much so. I think the other thing that'll be interesting to see is how this develops next year, because the question is that a function of you come in at the in the last month, you know you're going to have an easier time flipping guys if you're coming in, you know, is a school that is much preferable, let's say, to the school that they're committed to.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's tiers that guys have, and sometimes they're waiting for an offer from a school in UW's tier. So
interesting. All right, let's move on to safety JoJo McIntosh.
He's a 3-star guy, and he's a safety out of California, and he was a former UCLA commit.
Interesting.
He did have a previous relationship with Coach Pete at Boise State. But then he decided to go ahead with UCLA, and then I'm not sure if UCLA kind of told him to look around, or if he just decided once Coach Pete moved over to Washington that UW was where he wanted to be in the Pac-12. But I think he's an example, potentially, of one of those guys that maybe Coach Pete could have gotten more easily, you know, if he was in the Pac-12 before, and now he's, you know, showing he's able to recruit those kind of guys. He's a safety, and one of the things about this class is that Coach Pete went after a lot of defensive backs because that was an area of need, and so he is one of those guys who could have an impact potentially in his first year.
It's another thing that reminds you of another team from Seattle.
Yep.
okay, what about running back Drew Lewis?
Now, Lewis was originally committed to Sark in the previous coaching staff, right? And recently recommitted to UW.
Yeah, Drew Lewis. So he's actually a Washington guy, but yeah, he was committed to UW under Sark, and then when Sark left, he was kind of wavering on his commitment, and it kind of sounded like he was waiting for that USC offer, but Coach Pete told him he had a deadline that he had to commit by, and so he sort of picked us because he never got that USC offer. But he was one of those guys that was apparently really committed to the coaches but decided to, you know, stick with us. There's a couple guys that, hate to say it, but seems like they chose UW sort of as the, I don't want to say least bad, but there's a few guys
they're choosing their safety
like
school.
That's it. Like, totally ecstatic about their choice. I actually have him listed as a safety. He played running back in high school, but most people think he will be more of a safety or an outside linebacker in college.
Interesting. So that's another secondary player.
Yes.
So it looks like Lewis will be, they announced him as a linebacker, and that's where they're going to start him off at UW.
Yeah, and from his video, it's, you know, he hits pretty hard, and, you know, he can catch the ball because he's played some time on the offense, and so I think that will be an asset on the defensive side.
Okay. Well, that also sounds like another Seattle
team.
Yeah.
And then next up, we have Tristan Vizcaino.
Your favorite player
in this class,
correct?
It's really exciting to get Tristan onto one of the Seattle sports teams.
Well, the amazing thing is that next year, the Huskies will have Tristans on both the basketball team and the football team, with Tristan Etienne coming to play for Lorenzo Romar.
Wow. Look at you, Dub.
They're really stepping up on the Tristans.
They didn't even offer me a scholarship.
I've projected forward. They got you to walk off. I've projected forward, and at this rate of increase, eventually all Husky players would be.
And I, you know, I
stats.
I think that Tristan is actually one of the most important recruits in the class. He is a kicker, which, you know, isn't usually that heralded of a position, but UW has some need in that area because Coons is gone, and he sort of did everything for us.
And Cameron Van Winkle seems like his back may be an issue going forward.
Yeah, we don't really know how he's going to be able to do next year. So, and this guy, he's ranked 5th in the nation in kicking and 4th in the nation in punting by this guy named Chris Saylor, who runs a kicking academy. I don't know how accurate
most prestigious kicking
that ranking is, but it gets bandied about. And he
is he going to play both?
Where was he committed originally?
Former WSU commit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we really got one from the Cougs.
No, take that, Cougs. Got your kicker.
Their kicking game's going to be horrible next year.
Some of his video showed him getting his kickoffs into the end zone and sort of through the back of the end zone, and he had pretty good leg, but I don't know how that's going to translate to the college level. He seems like he can do all three things, you know, the kicking, field goals, kickoffs, and punting, so.
Interesting. And then what about somebody who the Huskies also just signed today, Breeden Lenius?
Okay, so Lenius is the tight end slash wide receiver out of California. He was a strong WSU lean, but he committed to the Huskies after a very late visit. He's a guy who played in Canada, and then he just came over to the United States this past year. So,
is he Canadian?
He's listed as from North Vancouver, so I would assume so. Nice to have a Canadian on the roster again.
Interesting.
Obviously,
North
one of the
Vancouver,
old...
the rough side of Vancouver.
Is that?
No.
You have no idea.
But one of the all-time leading Husky receivers, Jerome Paython, a native of British Columbia.
And, you know, he catches the ball very well, but because he's kind of only played in the United States where there's a little bit higher level of football at the high school level, he'll probably need some molding. But
hopefully most of these players would have only played in the United States at the high school level.
That's true. Except for JC, if there was a JC kid.
I know, I thought that was an interesting thing to note in this class. Pretty much every other Pac-12 school had at least one JC player, and this class had no junior college players.
I thought there were some that we might be in on for the future, but I don't know.
Do you think that that's something that, and we can talk about this at the end, but that's something that Chris Peterson is about, is bringing in younger players and giving them more time to develop rather than bringing in, like, quick fix type players?
It may be, or it may just be that his connections for this particular class were...
It could have just turned
out
that way.
The other thing is you've got a fairly deep roster, so you don't necessarily need that kind of
instant
upgrade.
Yeah.
You're looking more long-term. Interesting fact about Lenius, his grandfather, Eldridge Dickey, was the first African-American quarterback ever selected in the first round of an AFL or NFL draft.
Wow.
In 1968.
And there's apparently a pretty sad story about him, that he was not allowed to play quarterback because of his race, or at least that was what was insinuated.
That sounds about right for that time period.
He switched to wide receiver and did not do well there, and then went into alcoholism, but then he recovered later. But he never was able to play quarterback, so...
He must have been upset about that, too.
It is Braden's dream, I guess, to come back and to make it into the, you know, NFL.
Nice. His dad played in the CFL.
And then we've got Shane Bowman coming out of Bellevue High School.
Shane is one of those guys that is another one of the important guys, I think, from Bellevue, partly for the fact that it's sort of getting that Bellevue pipeline going, and Bellevue's a very good high school, and they produce talent consistently, and there's some recruits next year out of Bellevue that are important, so...
Do you know who's coming next year from Bellevue?
I can't remember the guy's name.
But is the elite players for the 2015 class?
One of the elite players, I think, is from Bellevue next year. But Shane Bowman is a defensive tackle, 6'4", 242 pounds, and he was a former Oregon State commit, and he has a reputation for being a hard worker, and he sort of built himself up over the past year by putting on 40 pounds, and so he's one of those guys that Coach Butch out there at Bellevue really seemed to push his work ethic, and I think that's something that Coach Pete sort of really buys into as well. And the interesting thing to see about him is that he played next to Marcus Griffin, who is another D1 level recruit, and so it'll be interesting to see what he can do without having someone that's, you know, sort of a star compared to him right next to him.
And they list him at defensive end. Could be a situation, I think, maybe where he's a guy that maybe plays defensive end on run downs and then slides inside and kind of a four aces package on passing downs to get more pressure.
Interesting. Then we have Darren Gardenhire.
So this kid was one of the later additions, not, you know, like today, but he was a former WSU commit. He's a safety, but he may play cornerback.
Yeah, that's where they've listed him as cornerback.
He was a big recruiter for this class. He said Washington was his dream school. He said his family are all fans of UW, and his cousin is Dwayne Washington. And he has other friends that are at UW. He's one of the guys that helped get Hale, who's the
young
guy.
Nate Dogg.
Yeah, young Nate Dogg. He had a very good senior season and that kind of upped his profile. He was able to improve his explosiveness. So that got him on a lot of schools' radars. And so I think he's a good pickup, and I think he helped to sort of close out the class a little with his recruiting of other players.
And then what about Jomon Dotson?
So Dromon Dotson is a running back out of American Canyon High School in California. He's 6 feet tall and 165 pounds. He's a former Colorado commit, and he is said to have a quick direction change, and he catches the ball well in the backfield. He doesn't have the fastest times in his rushes, but I think he's a decent pickup given the depth that the Huskies have.
Yeah,
only running back in this class, presumably because of the fact that you've still got so many contributors at that position.
To me, the players who are most likely to redshirt are going to be the wide receivers who came in, and then also Dotson, the positions where we have a lot of depth, and especially a lot of young depth. In the defense, I think they're just going to want to fill out that defense as much as possible.
Or at least have competition, and whoever emerges the winners of those, I think, has a chance to play right away.
Then we have a big recruit from a couple days ago, Caleb McGarry.
Okay, so Caleb McGarry is interesting recruit in that he is a country boy out of, well, he was recently playing at Fife in Washington State, and he's ranked 27 overall, or 27 at his position by scout, and they have him at defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's what the Huskies announced today. That was, again, a bit of a surprise. People had talked about him being kind of a prototype tackle, but apparently he wanted to play defensive tackle. That's part of why he ended up committing earlier this week.
And do you think there's no chance? Because, I mean, I was excited about him coming on as an offensive lineman. I was saying to you that he is the best offensive line recruit that the Huskies have had since 2009, I believe, Eric Kohler, and then Colin Porter also in that same class. It was nice to have a real hog of an offensive lineman there. You know, a real country lineman, also considering Wisconsin.
I mean, I think that's kind of one of those things that, you know, he'll see how effective he is and his chances of playing time right away, and if, you know, that changes his opportunity if he moves to offensive line, then, you know.
And not to be cynical about this, but once you're on the team, you're probably going to play wherever the coaches want you to play. If he makes way more sense as an offensive lineman once he gets here and he's already committed in school, he's probably going to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it might be a situation where he actually is a really effective defensive lineman and, you know, Coach Pete made the right decision here.
Or maybe play both ways.
You know, I thought this thing that was interesting about him, you know, I was talking about how he was a country kid and he wanted to major in agriculture, and UW doesn't have an agriculture program, but Pete was able to sell him on the value of, like, a related degree in environmental sciences or something like that. And so I think that was a very good recruiting job there to sell the value of the UW degree.
You want
to
be a park ranger. You don't want to be a farmer.
I would have just explained to him that nobody ends up working in anything related to their actual degree, says the guy who has a marketing degree and writes about sports on ESPN.
And then what about Brandon Lewis?
So Brandon Lewis is a cornerback out of California. They say that he ranks about 73 at his position. He's another former Boise State commit that flipped to us. He's a strange guy because he was injured for the past 2 years, and Boise State was his only offer prior to UW offering him, and there's really not too much out there on him.
It's really strange how many secondary players they brought in. I didn't really notice that as they were signing these players, but almost every single player has been listed as playing in the secondary.
Yeah, I think you've got four guys listed as cornerbacks and three safeties. Four safeties.
Coach Pete must have really been thinking there is a lack of depth in the secondary. And really, when you look at it, to me, I mean, there's not a ton of depth, but I consider Marcus Peters one of the best cornerbacks in the Pac-12.
You might only have him for one more year. He could be a guy that goes pro after next season.
And then after that, it's a lot of players without a lot of experience. I mean, you've got Brandon Browner who's played, or Brandon Beaver. Brandon Browner.
Brandon Browner, that would be awesome. Kevin King got some experience as a freshman, played well late in the season when he was forced into the lineup. But yeah, that's, you get beyond that, there's not a lot.
Okay, let's go on to John Turner. Turner looks like an offensive line recruit. Came over, had an offer from Colorado also. I believe he's the only offensive line recruit in this class. Now we have Matt James also. Or a few actually higher-rated offensive linemen for the class. So it might have meant that Caleb McGarry didn't need to play offensive line because they got four or five guys who can kind of fill in there.
Yeah, he's one of the two-star, not rated, you know, for his position guys. But he did have Cal and Colorado offers.
And to me, in college, the most important thing that you can have is a good offensive line. The thing that separates the elite teams from the bad teams in college football is that offensive line, because there are so many skill position players available. You know, we could have signed 15 wide receivers and 10 running backs. But being able to sign good offensive linemen is something that a school like UW and kind of a second-tier school has a hard time doing.
to me, it's often a numbers game. You just want to get a lot of those guys in here and see who you can develop and coach up and get on the field.
And then what about Dante Pettis, brother of former NFL wide receiver Austin Pettis.
Cousin of, is he brother?
Cousin.
And, yes. And former Boise State Bronco.
So Dante Pettis is exciting because he is very athletic. He played basketball as well, and there's a picture I saw online of him dunking, and his head looked like it was like right at the rim. So that's exciting to see that sort of athleticism. He's a wide receiver, 6 foot tall, 170 pounds, out of California. He, as I said, is very athletic, and he plays the ball well, and he shows explosion for yards after catch. Yeah, and as you said, Austin Pettis of the Rams is his cousin.
His dad, Gary Pettis, played 11 years in the major leagues. I think a lot of people may remember him from the 90s.
Gary Pettis.
I think the other interesting thing, I saw a quote today where Coach Pete was saying that he thought he was more impressive at this age than Austin was when he recruited him to Boise State.
Interesting. And then what about offensive lineman Jesse Sosabe?
So Sosabe is another one of those guys that hopefully will develop.
And did he flip from Boise State?
Yeah, he's another Boise State flip. There's not too much out there on him. This guy is very big. He's 6 foot six and 300 pounds. There's hope he can develop in Pete's system because he has the frame. And our new strength and conditioning coach is big on teaching speed, as that's kind of been noted as one of the things he needs to work on. So hopefully that can be addressed.
He's just a big fat white guy right now.
That's usually something that you teach a lot of speed, right?
They claim they can do that.
I think you can.
I don't quote about that at all.
I'm being snarky here, but I think you can improve it incrementally.
At least footwork, maybe. And then we have cornerback Najeel Hale.
Already my favorite Husky player.
Oh, yeah. Young Nate Dogg. I don't know if anyone wants to talk about the young Nate Dogg aspect of this.
What's Nate Dogg's son?
Yeah, I don't know what the other aspect of it is.
Nate Dogg is one of the greatest rappers of all time. The most underrated. Well, not rappers. I don't know if I would use the term rapper. Yeah.
Nate Dogg the greatest takes hook a singer. Song. Yes. He takes a good song and elevates it to a classic song. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Najeel Hall will take a good class and elevate it to a classic class.
Oh, man. What an analogy.
But we certainly hope so. Maybe he'll take a good defense and elevate it to a legendary defense.
Well, what I want is for him and the other recruits to come in and make a Legion of Boom-like defense that they can call the Regulators.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is the most important part of this class and signing Najeel Hale.
Unfortunately, he's also very good at football.
Yes, that's nice.
A longtime Arizona recruit who flipped last weekend.
Yeah, he flipped to us last weekend, and it was a strange situation because I guess Arizona pulled his offer for visiting us, and I don't really know if that's a great idea to do with a guy who is a four-star player, according to
Scout.
Also,
his dad is a gangster
rapper. Yeah, who he played in the Army All-American game. I mean, he was pretty big recruit. He can play corner or safety or outside linebacker as he likes to hit, and he plays the run well.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about him. We also, incrementally, anecdotally, you mentioned that you think that there needs to be a Nate Dogg song for the introduction to Husky Games.
Doesn't he already sing on
that? And he sings on the song.
Did not think of that.
Till I Collapse by Eminem. So Nate Dogg is already introducing the Huskies every single game. And now I don't see any reason why they would change that.
I see some reasons why they might change that. Doesn't seem to be as much Coach Pete's style as much as it was Coach Sark's style.
Nate Dogg. You can't change the song when young Nate Dogg is coming. He's going to be running into the game with his dad singing.
That's pretty awesome if they could do that. For him, even just to keep that
if
for
we
him.
Are sneaking beers into the game, we'll pour one out every game for old Nate Dogg.
R.I.P. Nate Dogg.
And the other interesting thing about rappers' kids, or R&B singers' kids, is that we're hoping that this could help us get Snoop Dogg's
young,
son next
young
year.
Young Snoop Dogg. Yeah. I would not hold my breath on that
I know, we're probably not, but...
But the 213 reconnection would be really exciting.
It would be impressive.
I hope that we talk about him a lot. I hope that he's a good player.
I feel like there's an outside chance that he could start at that position. You look at the depth chart opposite Marcus Peters, there's not a lot of guarantees there.
It's going to be wide open, the other corner spot opposite from Peters, with all these players coming in. I think both of the safety spots are going to be wide open. Peters is pretty much the only one who you can definitely slot in there.
Yep.
So then we have Matt James.
Okay, so Matt James is... a longtime Husky commit who is, oddly enough, from Idaho. He stayed with the Dogs after Coach Pete took over. There's not too much out there on him. He's an offensive tackle, 6'5", 270 pounds. He dropped a bunch of weight at the beginning of the senior season due to mono, and he has regained some.
The kissing disease.
So I guess people may have shied away from him because he lost so much weight.
I mean, it looks like he had quite a few Pac-12 offers from Arizona State, Cal, and Wazoo.
But he did stay with UW the whole way.
So. I mean, I feel like the coach from his home state moving over to UW probably helped things out, too. I doubt that scared him away. Then what about Drew Sample?
So Drew Sample is a tight end prospect out of Washington, Newport. He is 6'5", 235 pounds. And so basically what we did in this class is we switched a Sark tight end commit in the guy named Chase Blakely, who was ranked number 15 at his position, and who, oddly enough, is from Idaho, and Coach Pete did not recruit, with this guy Drew Sample, who is a former Coach Pete commit.
And Chase Blakely went back to Boise State.
Right, and this guy Sample is from Washington and did not get an offer from Sark, although he's quoted as saying he wanted one all along. He's ranked 31 at his position by scout, so a little bit less. But the interesting thing there is, I think, Coach Pete not offering Chase Blakely, but offering Drew Sample, so that means he saw something, I think, in Sample that he really liked. The highlights show him making some great diving catches with proficiency at run blocking and driving players backwards when he was doing that.
And ESPN has him number 16 at tight end. I mean, that's one of those things you can't get too hung up on one service's.
Yeah, really, the differences in rankings, once you get past kind of the elite level, feel like it's going to be so random from there.
But another guy I think that has a chance to play right away when you look at Austin Seferian Jenkins' departure from the NFL. So there is some depth there, certainly, but, you know, we'll see. I think that position will be open for competition.
And then we have LaVon Washington.
So LaVon Washington was the one that gave us the most worry today on signing day because his letter of intent did not come in as quickly as some might have thought. And also, he's one of the several defensive backs he's projected at safety, and so people were speculating that maybe he got scared off after Buda Baker committed and wanted out, but that's not true. He's a longtime Husky commit, and he had a very good camp at our Rising Stars. His coach, oddly enough, was Marcus Peters' dad.
That couldn't have hurt things.
Yeah, so that's probably where we got that connection. He likes to hit. He had 83 tackles in his junior year, and he can play free safety or strong safety in college, but more likely strong safety.
Yeah, that to me implies that you can play those two guys together.
Exactly, yeah. When Buda committed, he said he's going to play free safety. So you've got him and Washington coming in. That might be your safety core for next year.
So he's going to be the Cam Chancellor.
He's going to be Cam Chancellor to Buda Baker's Earl Thomas. That's really exciting. And then we've got Jalen Johnson.
So Jalen Johnson is one of my favorite commits from his video that I watched. He is a defensive end prospect.
From the Katie Recruiting Service.
Yeah, from Huddle. He's 6'3", 235 pounds out of California. He's number 44. Of course, we don't put too much value on that. Recruit in his class from Scout.
And he had some of the best offers of any of the players that UW got.
Had Oregon offers, like, it seemed like all of the Pac-12.
Oregon, USC, Arizona State.
That's more than half the Pac-12 right there.
Yeah. But he is very physical, and he hits well and is aggressive in the pursuit of the ball. Although, you know, you can't really tell on those highlights. You know, he seemed to be able to break into the backfield very often. I can't really tell if that's just because, you know, he was playing
poor competition.
Poor competition, or because he's very skillful, but it was exciting to see. So I think he is a pretty big pickup.
Then what about Greg Gaines?
So Greg Gaines is a defensive tackle out of California, 6'1", 295 pounds. He is another former Boise State commit who was just totally sold on playing for Coach Pete. He seems to be able to shed his blockers and get into the backfield easily, and he hits well and was able to make tackles while engaged with blockers. He refused to give up on the play and followed the ball well.
And it's nice to get some high-level defensive line prospects, too. Because rushing the passer is going to be hugely important for Coach Pete coming in next year. And then what about the quarterback from the class, Kyle Curtis-Samuels?
So this is an interesting situation because we initially tried to go for a kid named Jalen Green, who was, I think, a former Boise State commit who switched to us. And then, like, immediately after he switched to UW, Sark offered him, and he flipped to USC immediately, which I think was probably a poor choice for him because I don't think he's really going to get playing time at USC.
I mean, they have the number one quarterback prospect from last season already there, and the number one quarterback prospect from next season coming in. So you're the guy in between those two.
Yeah, so he has his work cut out for him there. But anyways, so we had to look for a quarterback for this class, and we got pretty lucky, I think, in the fact that Vanderbilt had a coaching change. Mm-hmm. So this kid, KJ Carter-Samuels, was originally set to attend Vanderbilt because that's where his brother went. You know, he's really solid on it, but then the coaching change came, and he opened things up. He was invited to the sort of big-name Elite 11 showcase for the quarterbacks. He played in the Semper Fi game. He can run with the ball a little bit, and he has a good arm, and apparently loves the weight room. So we now have a backup if one of our quarterbacks happens to transfer, or he'll just be able to redshirt.
Are you at all surprised that they brought in a quarterback in this class after bringing in a couple quarterbacks recently?
Not at all. I think that I believe in the philosophy that the Green Bay Packers had, which that was you always draft a quarterback, and in this case, it's you always bring in a quarterback. Now, it may not always be a high-level recruit that you expect to necessarily come in and start, but I think you just want to maintain depth at that position.
And this is one of the highest recruits, I mean, along with the players who are already here in Southern Miles and Jeff Lindquist, that Chris Peterson is working with in his entire career.
Yep.
He's got a lot of toys at his disposal there, and he's kind of known as being able to really develop quarterbacks. But
he's a couple years down the road. I mean, those guys, if he redshirts next year, then he's 2 years behind Lindquist.
My hunch is somebody is going to transfer. One of probably Miles or Lindquist is going to transfer since they came in the same year. I don't see them both sticking around for their entire tenure.
It'll be interesting because Lindquist is supposedly a pretty big UW guy, just, he's local. So it'll be interesting to see if he does transfer or if he just decides to play out.
And then the top of the class, kind of the real gem of the UW class, and Buda Baker.
The cherry on top of the UW class. That might not even be strong enough. He might be the ice cream. He might be the foundation.
So Buda Baker, you know, he's just a really good player.
I agree.
Pete was very, very excited when talking about him today at the press conference. He's said to be the best player in the Northwest. He's the number 41 player in the nation. He has never lost a game while at Bellevue.
And he said he lost in seventh grade his last time he lost a football game.
Well, he's going to have to get used to that, because he's probably not going to go undefeated all 4 years at UW. That's unlikely. I'm not going to predict an undefeated season.
He had his jersey retired, and one of the things that I think helped him get here, besides for his family, was that UW had been recruiting him for defense, mm-hmm. and they have just a package for him on offense. And I think that Oregon was just having him play mainly offense, so I think that was something that was important to him.
Really?
I think that's
Oregon's
the case.
Oregon's trying to have him play on offense. Interesting.
Yeah, they saw him as the next DeAnthony Thomas.
I mean, that's exciting.
That is exciting. I agree.
I don't know if you've seen any of his kickoff returns or punt returns or anything like that, but he is explosive, and he makes exciting plays.
Really exciting to see a player who wants to play defense, too, who is a young, explosive player and is not necessarily interested in being a hot offensive player.
And one of the cool things that I thought about him was that he cited Coach Pete's discipline as a reason that he wanted to come play for Washington, and he said that made him a lot like Coach Butch at Bellevue, and he said that was something he was looking for, so it's nice to have someone that's ready for, you know, everything that's going to be thrown at him.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the most important indicator going forward. Obviously, huge to get Buda for this year's class, but it shows you the kind of guy and the kind of relationship that they're going to be able to build going forward. It's a slightly different pitch than Coach Sark.
Absolutely. I mean, Buda Baker is important for a lot of reasons, right? Number one, he's going to be a really good player. Number two, he continues to establish, along with Shane Bowman and a couple of walk-ons, the pipeline between Bellevue High School, probably the best football program in Washington State,
unquestionably,
and UW. Also, it establishes that UW, and with Caleb McGarry too, is going to get the top players in Washington State.
Putting up the fence.
That tends to be kind of the conversation that UW fans really want. We don't want to lose the best players. It makes us angry when we lose the best players to other schools.
Well, I mean, you're the best program in the state. You should get the best players in the state.
it's more fun, I think, to root for people that are homegrown to your, you know.
I mean, Buddha Baker, you said.
Yes, like Jermaine Hurst.
You said Young Nate Dogg, which we're going to heretofore call him, was your favorite player. Buddha Baker is my favorite player on the team right this second, right? And it even kind of continues a trend of, I know Shaq Thompson doesn't play safety anymore, but you look at Sean Parker as a pretty high-rated safety coming here. Shaq Thompson is a pretty high-ranked safety coming here. Buddha Baker is a high-ranked safety coming here. Somehow UW is bringing in these really good players in the secondary, and I think it's really going to start showing this next year.
I mean, I think that's a really important place to start when you're building your defense. I mean, again, the Seahawks have kind of shown us the value of that. It's a passing sport now. And to stop that, you need pressure from your defensive line, and you need cornerbacks that are able to defend one-on-one, and then you need safeties that are able to contain deep. And I think that's kind of what UW is building with this class.
Having a quick, rangy safety is the most important thing that you can have. He's going to come in and be a starter from day one.
I think that's the likely outcome, yeah.
And
you just want to get him the ball as much as you can as a returner in, you know, a handful of plays per game on offense. Just give him the chance to make plays.
How do you think, Katie, that this class compares with kind of the rest of the Pac-12 for this year?
Well, Scout, you know, if you believe them, has us at 7th, I think, in the Pac-12. Which is, I would say, pretty dang good for the situation that Coach Pete came into, you know, having, what was it, 2 months or something like that, with a lot of dead period in there, to put a class together, and maybe not having all the contacts in, you know, with some of the bigger name guys, just because those guys were not going to come to Boise State. So I think it's a decent class. It's nothing like the class that, say, USC got, which is just, what do they have, 3 5-star guys in that class? And I think probably the biggest, one of the biggest unsigned players in, was it Adoree Jackson? But I think it did a nice job of taking what was out there and finding some players that were going to switch and putting together a pretty nice class that I think addresses our needs, which I think is probably more important than maybe where it ranks this year with respect to the other Pac-12 classes.
Yeah, I mean, my perspective was USC had a really good class and really bumped things up today more than any other day. But maybe aside from them, a lot of the other classes in that range from 2 through 10 were really pretty similar classes. And it's going to be all about what the individual coaches are going to be able to do with those players. No one really separated themselves from the pack here.
Other than USC, who's always going to have the most talent of anyone in the Pac-12, as long as they're coached with any modicum of skill.
And they should. You know, when you look at Oregon, it's a fairly typical class from Oregon. You know, they have a couple good players in there, but nothing necessarily too spectacular. UCLA, I think, had a worse class than they've had
in the
past.
They got some strikeouts.
Which was probably exciting news for us. Yeah. We kind of think of them as one of our main competitors recruiting-wise.
Yep.
Arizona State had a nice class, and I think that they're part of the group of Pac-12 teams that are really rising. You look at it, and it's UCLA, it's Arizona State, and it's Washington, who are the teams that are coming up in the
Pac-12. Arizona in that group, too. They also have a nice recruiting class.
But it's going to be, no one took a huge leap forward here. It's going to be that, you know, can Chris Peterson mold these players into the NFL players like he's done at Boise State consistently?
I mean, to me, you know, my expectations were very low for this class for all the reasons we've talked about. I actually started doing some research on how classes change after a coaching change. And if you look back to Sark's first class, it was kind of small. It was not very highly rated. Tyrone Willingham's first class was not that good. Even Rick Neuheisel's first class going back to then, I think he got Paul Arnold that first year, but that was pretty much it. So it's typical for there to be some drop-off when you have a coaching change, and to still be in the middle of the pack after that I think is very impressive and speaks well to what Coach Pete and his staff are going to be able to do going forward. I mean, it was just such a strong close to it. You got everybody you were hoping for in the final week.
I'm really excited to see what he can do with a full year of recruiting. I think that Coach Pete, as far as it seems so far from this first class, really connects with the players. You know, I think that they really like talking to him. They might not have known him for that long, but what he's pitching to them is really important. Because part of what Coach Pete has and he brings is success, you know? Coach Sark is all about possibility, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to USC, it's all about you're at the biggest school, here's what we're going to build. Chris Peterson is all about, here are the games that I've won. I have the highest winning percentage of any coach in college football. So I'm excited to see what he can pitch from beyond there, because when he talks to somebody like Buda Baker, who hasn't lost from 7th grade, he's pitching winning to him. And it's something where if the Huskies can have a really good season this year, and put up 10 wins again, I think that he's going to be able to do really amazing things with the class next year.
Yeah, that's, I think, the key, is being able to sort of sustain the momentum that Sark built for
us. On the field.
Right, on the field. And then turning that into what should be, as long as we can do what I think our talent is capable of that we have currently on the roster, then I think next year's class should be pretty special.
And the other thing that this class reminds me of, and we've talked about how it mirrors the Seahawks a lot, right? Because that's probably foremost on our minds.
It is.
But
it's a very positive comparison.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, it's a team, the Huskies don't need to transform themselves completely in 4 years, but the Seahawks are a team who transformed themselves completely in 4 years with a new person and new energy and a coach who is named Pete.
It's true.
So,
but I think that explains why this is maybe a little bit larger class than everyone was expecting under Sark, because I think that you're starting to get your own guys in there and put your stamp on the team.
Yes. It reminds me of that first year with John Schneider and Pete Carroll coming in and basically wiping out the entire team that they had.
You make it sound like, I don't know, they were just taking people down left and right.
They did. Have you seen Lindale White lately? But bringing in a huge new group of guys, and they're either going to mold them into the best players, or they're going to be gone, you know? This is going to be the team. It reminds me of, okay, Coach Pete said this to the Seahawks 2 years ago in the season that they went, I believe, 7-9. And he said, you guys are going to be the guys that are going to win a Super Bowl. And I think that this class of players is going to be the players that is going to lead the Huskies to a Pac-12 championship.
That's optimistic.
You're just feeling pretty positive right now, I think.
We just won the Super Bowl.
That's true.
And put together a really exciting class. There's nothing to not be excited about Husky football right now.
All right, well, I think that about wraps it up in terms of recruiting. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.